You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Wednesday, April 4th, 2018, the middle of the week, and this is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe to it. You can do so on iTunes or Spotify, and we will send this show to your device each morning so you can listen to it on demand, whether you're on your commute, whether you're at the gym, wherever you want to listen, whenever you want to listen, you can tune in. And if you really enjoy this show, please give it a good review in iTunes. And as always, thanks to those who have done so, and thanks in advance to those who will do so. The Jets have been relatively active over the last week or so. They've made a number of moves, so we're going to do a little catch-up today and talk about some of the things that have happened with the Jets. There hasn't been a single move that's been monumental. There's been nothing that we could really build an entire show around, but there have been a couple of small news items that we can talk about today. A couple of minor signings. You know, as we've been talking about, free agency is kind of starting to slow down, but it's not entirely finished. The Jets are still adding players. You have to remember that you have 90 spots in training camp. You have 90 roster spots, so you might as well fill them all. I mean, there's no point in going to camp with less than 90 players, even if it's a guy who has a very small chance. Even if he's got a 2% chance of becoming a good player, if you don't use that roster spot, you've got no chance. So might as well fill up your roster spots, and that's what the Jets have done. Before we talk about some of the signings, though, the Jets did get some news on Tuesday that was good news for the Jets and good news for this player, Robbie Anderson, who, of course, is dealing with a couple legal situations. He's faced charges over an arrest last year and an arrest this year. On the arrest this year, felony charges were dropped, and according to a report, Anderson now faces one misdemeanor count of reckless driving from an incident that took place a little while back, and he still is facing charges from the alleged incident from last year. So this is not over for Anderson, but the felony charges he was facing have been dropped. So that's positive news for the Jets. Anderson's situation has been one of the question marks of the offseason, and again, this situation is not over, but has to be viewed as a positive for both him and for the team that these the most serious charges in this particular case have been dropped. And you know, whenever there's a situation like this, I do my best to just not comment. You always see people who say the team needs to cut a guy immediately, and I always think that it's best to just let the evidence come in and not make any presumptions before we know what's happened. And as this case is still continuing on, so I'm not even going to comment on anything else. But I think that's just an important thing to remember, is that you have to wait for the facts before you make judgments. You start saying that you want to cut a guy or things like that. You know, it's always best to let this thing play its course. Now, let's talk about some of the signings, and there was one. This was probably the least recent signing that we'll discuss, and it was the Jets brought back their backup center from a year ago, Jonathan Harrison, who was the guy they brought in. They signed him last year. He started his career with the Colts, has some starting experience, and you may remember he actually saw some playing time near the end of the year, week 16, week 17, when Wesley Johnson was hurt. And I have the feeling that a lot of fans have a very positive viewpoint of Harrison. I think he's a guy that people like, and I think it all stems from one particular play, was when he sprung Bilal Powell for a touchdown against the Chargers week 16, well down the field. I'm talking 30, 40 yards down the field. He threw a block to kind of spring Powell. And I think that's led people to believe that Harrison's really a quality player, a quality backup. And I'm not sure that it's necessarily justified. This is a guy with quite a bit of experience in the NFL. He's been in the NFL for years and years, and he really did not do that great of a job with the Colts. If you followed the Colts in recent years, it's one of the saddest stories in the league, because they have been gifted one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, Andrew Luck. And gifted is the right word, because they only got him because they got bad in the wrong year. They're quarterback Peyton Manning suffered an injury and the year Luck was coming out and they were terrible that year. They fell into Andrew Luck and they've done everything they can to sabotage Andrew Luck's career. And Luck, his first 3 years actually somehow led them to successful season. That's how good Andrew Luck is. But the Colts have done a terrible job surrounding him. And few places they've been worse surrounding Luck with talent than the offensive line. And Harrison's been part of the mix in Indianapolis through the years. And last year he came to the Jets and backed up Wesley Johnson. Now he's back, at least for training camp, it seems. And I think the operative phrase there is backed up Wesley Johnson. This was a guy who could not get a starting job over Wesley Johnson last year. So I think that speaks volumes. Didn't seem like he even was in the mix in training camp. You know, you would have thought with a guy in Johnson who had no track record of starting in the NFL, the next guy on the depth chart would at least have a chance to supplant him, and did not happen. Harrison really didn't seem like he was ever considered for the starting job. Then he got in late last season, and I watched some of the footage on him and was very unimpressed. I thought he was just as shaky as Johnson. He was not executing his assignment. He was struggling recognizing certain fronts the Chargers were throwing at them. So I was really not impressed by him. I did not think he was an upgrade over Johnson. He had the one play with Powell, but there was a coach or a scout. It was somebody I read a while back who said, I'm trying to remember who it was, and he didn't say it to me. It was something I read in a report or something like that. They said if an offensive lineman's only stats, if the offensive lineman's only highlights taking place 10 yards or further from 10 yards down the field or further, the guy's probably not much of a lineman, and that's because the offensive lineman's job is to block at the line of scrimmage. You know, you get down the field and you get a lineman against a corner, I don't care how bad the lineman is, the lineman's going to execute the blocks. What you need is a guy who's going to execute on a play-to-play basis. I'm not sure Harrison's going to do that. Now, we've talked about Harrison, who was not an particularly inspired choice for backup center. So over the last few days, I've been a little disappointed that the Jets brought him back. They didn't go with somebody with more upside. And then on Tuesday, they agreed to terms with another center, Travis Swanson, formerly of the Detroit Lions. So the Jets and Lions swap centers. Wesley Johnson, in case you missed it, he went to the Lions. And good luck with that, Detroit. The Jets get Travis Swanson, who was Detroit's center. And he's a guy who's been up and down in his career. A guy who has struggled with concussions. It's kind of scary. His last two seasons have ended because of concussions, and he's a guy who has missed, you know, 9 games over the last two seasons. So, and the reaction I saw from Lions fans seemed to be that they were kind of hoping this guy would just retire for his own well-being. The Jets bring him aboard. I think he's probably brought in to be a backup type player, which I think makes some degree of sense. You know, I've seen some fans speculate that this means the Jets will trade James Carpenter and either Spencer Long or Swanson will play guard, because typically if you can play center, you can play guard. Not always, but generally speaking, guys who can play center in the NFL can play guard. I don't see the Jets making a change at the guard position. I think if the Jets were going to move on from James Carpenter, they would have done so earlier, and they would have found a guy who's a little bit better than Swanson, and a guy with a little bit better of a reputation. I'm not sure Swanson's really starting material. He's, again, a guy who's been up and down during his career with Detroit. Now, what I would say is this could be viewed as a positive move, because the question ultimately is Swanson better than Harrison? And I think the answer is probably going to prove to be yes. Is he better than Dakota Dozier? Yeah, he probably is. Is he great? Is he a guy I'd love as a starter? No, but for a backup, he could probably do worse. I mean, he's a depth move. He'll play the interior. I presume he'll back up both center and guard. Of course, maybe he'll move into, if there's an injury to a guard, maybe you move Long to guard, and then that's when you put Swanson at center. I don't know. You know, in terms, if he, again, he's not really a great starter, but And I'm not sure there are that many great backups in the league, but he's probably a minor upgrade. Is he a guy who necessarily moves the needle? No. Is he a guy who you praise Mike Maccagnan for signing, a particularly inspired move? No. But is he an upgrade over what the Jets had? Yeah, and I think that's the ultimate question here. He does kind of fit the Maccagnan mold. If you followed Mike Maccagnan's tenure with the Jets, one thing that kind of sticks out to you is that he really likes reclamation projects on the offensive line. He likes to roll the dice on guys who have injury concerns. And sometimes it's worked out, sometimes it hasn't. Ryan Clady was a guy who immediately came to mind. That one really did not work out. Last year, Kelvin Beachum worked a little better, but not a smashing success, not a spectacular success, but a move that hasn't been terrible. He stabilized a position that was kind of up in the air, that was up in the air, and an important position at left tackle. James Carpenter was also a reclamation project, one of Maccagnan's first signings. That one's worked pretty well. So it's been up and down, the moves Maccagnan has made. He really does seem to like the reclamation project. Spencer Long's another one, a guy who's got some injury questions himself. And now you bring Swanson into the mix. So I view it as a depth move. I'm not sure it's a move that necessarily deserves praise or heavy criticism. So Jets bring in a second center. And they also brought in two tight ends, a couple of moves that were announced this week on Monday. The Jets claimed Clive Walford off waivers from the Oakland Raiders. Walford was a third-round pick out of Miami in 2015 and kind of fell out of favor in Oakland as they brought in guys like Jared Cook. He saw his playing time go way down in 2017. Now, 2016, he registered 33 catches, 359 yards, and 3 touchdowns, which are numbers that are eerily reminiscent of the guy the Jets let go, Austin Seferian Jenkins. And one of the points I have made throughout free agency and before free agency was that I did not want the Jets to overpay Seferian Jenkins. I think there was a price where he made sense, but I didn't want them to go crazy to try and keep him. And part of the reason was just guys who produce like Seferian Jenkins, they grow on trees. You can find them. They're readily available. And in the case of Walford, it kind of shows you why. This is a guy, they claim Seferian Jenkins off waivers, which shows you about how difficult it is to find a player like Seferian Jenkins. They claimed Seferian Jenkins himself off waivers. And then once again, they get Walford off waivers, a guy who's produced numbers similar to what ASJ has done at various points with the Jets in 2017. Now, the negative to that is he produced around what ASJ did, which is not spectacular, but it's a step above what the Jets had in 2015, 2016 at least. And again, you got essentially more or less the same player. I actually think Walford could be a little bit better because I think he's a little bit better blocker than ASJ. Not as spectacular. He's not going to remind anybody of the great blocking tight ends in this league, but I think he might be a small upgrade actually. And you got him at a cheaper rate, and that's good management right there. I don't want to go too crazy praising Maccagnan for adding a role player, a guy who's a tight end who's kind of a passable at best guy, but you essentially replaced a guy who was going to be much more expensive with the same caliber of player and paid less money. So that's a positive thing. I think at this point, Walford probably is the favorite to win the starting tight end job. We'll see whether the Jets have another move or two up their sleeve. We'll see what comes of that, but I can't complain about that. It's a waiver wire move, and he might be better than what the Jets have on the roster right now. So again, a marginal upgrade, but could be an upgrade note nonetheless, so nothing to be upset about, I would say. And the final move, if you thought these first couple moves were minor, this one's maybe the most minor of them all, the least major of them all. The Jets bring in Bucky Hodges, who was a draft prospect a year ago. Very big target, 6'6", 6'7", range, and he did a very athletic guy, really great combine, really impressive physical tools. Was only a sixth-round pick a year ago by Minnesota, and then he was let go, and he caught on with Carolina's practice squad, and they let him go. I'm not sure how much you can expect here. He was a guy who I think a lot of people were surprised he fell to the sixth round. And I will say this is, I'm not just talking about fans here. I mean, I've spoken with some people in the league, and it wasn't in the Jets context. This was last year before the draft. I was just talking with a person or two in the NFL and about people they liked as kind of sleepers. And Bucky Hodges' name came up. There are people in the league who really like Bucky Hodges. Now, that said, I mean, you have to look at it. Two teams have given up on him in a year, despite his imposing physical tools. So I don't think your expectations should be through the roof. But, again, we're talking about bringing 90 guys to training camp. So you're not talking about – not all these guys are going to be super prospects. You're just looking for tools you can build on, and Hodges certainly has them. You know, he's certainly a great athlete. He certainly has a lot of size. So he's an imposing physical figure. How much can he bring to the Jets? I'm not sure, but – I got to be honest with you. I mean, you look at some of the guys the Jets have brought to the training camp in the past. Hodges is probably a better bet than a lot of the guys the Jets could come up with to bring to camp. So he'll be in the mix, we presume. You can't guarantee it because the Jets could still cut guys. Guys always get cut between now and training camp because you can only bring 90. So eventually you may find a guy on the scrap heap you like a little better than somebody on your roster. But at this point, you'd have to guess Hodges will be coming to camp. And I'm not expecting a whole lot, but hey, for a camp body, there's at least something intriguing there. So I think we got through all the minor moves the Jets have made. Again, nothing too crazy. It's consistent with a lot of what we've seen from the Jets in free agency. They're buying low. They're finding guys who have upside, low risk, moderate reward guys. It's an approach that on paper sounds great, but as the great Jimmy Johnson said about the trade for Herschel Walker, when Dallas got all those picks for Herschel Walker, that famous trade, he said the picks were great, but the important thing was that we picked the right players. It wouldn't have been a great trade if we didn't pick the right players. And same thing goes here. In free agency, I think it's generally a good idea to buy low on guys, to find guys with upside, hope you find great value. The key to it is picking the right players, and we'll find out whether the Jets have found some good values. We'll find out whether they've picked the right players in the months ahead. That'll do it for our show today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, iTunes, Spotify, subscribe. And if you really enjoy, good iTunes review. Hope you have a great Wednesday. We'll chat again on Thursday.